When I was a child and my parents took us to the Maritimes, and while we were there, we visited some of the museums dedicated to the mining on Cape Breton Island. These mines were there primarily for the extraction of coal. And many, even by then, and it would have been around 1970, had been closed because they had been exhausted and or the economic conditions needed to use them had been finished. I remember towards the end of the tour, we were shown a shelf within one of the mines where some flowers were growing. And the tour leader engaged us in some conversation. It was just stressed how difficult this was within a mining setting, and the beauty of this little sign of life in the midst of something that seemed so lifeless, but the explanation about the artificial light that was needed, and so on. Who of us, can forget the dramatic scene of the miners of Chile trapped in their sarcophagus for days or weeks, the drilling to rescue them, the camera scenes from below, and the coffin-like structure that brought them out of that dark, gloomy grave to the surface. Just an incredible marvel of engineering, but also of communication, that a camera went down there before. And I think I've mentioned it before, but the president, apparently, of the country had owned a TV station, and so he had all the sense of how to make this into an event. Job is not a book that we often preach from, though it is preached from more than now than it was a couple of generations ago. And we use it more and more in pastoral care, in fact, and perhaps has often been used in certain pastoral care settings. It is the story of how faith and suffering intersect. As Dan Aptisen would say, currently an Old Testament professor at Canadian Mennonite University, there are at least two themes running throughout the Old Testament. There is a dominant theme that goes something like this. If you work hard and you follow God and you obey his laws, God will grant you prosperity. There are churches, and maybe there were a few more of them about a decade ago, that were labeled sometimes as preaching a prosperity gospel. And this certainly is a prosperity theme from the Old Testament. Sometimes it would even have the added twist of saying, and you can see how self-serving this was, the more you give to the church of your money, the more God would bless you. Have you heard that from some of the TV preachers, perhaps? But the Bible does not give us only this theme. But it is not hard to see how one could draw these conclusions from the Bible. But Job, among other passages in the Old Testament, questions that. What happens to faith if everything is taken away from you? Children, land, possessions, all were taken away from Job. There is nothing left. And Job's friends are still preaching to him the prosperity gospel. Look, Job, this is what you're doing wrong. You aren't obeying God, and therefore all these things were taken away from you. But the writer of Job is convinced that only is it not Job's fault, but it might even be God's fault why Job is suffering from this calamity. And it is in this setting that Job imagines a trip to a mine. It is an interesting journey. The piece of literature here is stunning. Mining is described as a hidden activity. Precious metals come not from what is above the ground, as beautiful as all that is, but from below the ground. They open shafts in a valley, he says, away from human habitation. They are forgotten by travelers. They sway suspended, remote from people. Verse 5, as for the earth, out of it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire. Its stones are the place of sapphires, and its dust contains gold. That path no bird of prey knows, and the falcon's eye has not seen it. The proud wild animals have not trodden it. The lion has not passed over it. They put their hands to the flinty rock and overturn mountains by the roots. They cut out channels in the rocks, and their eyes see every precious thing. The sources of the rivers they probe, hidden among the light. The end of the quote from that passage. The purpose of this very well-drawn picture of mining 3,000 years ago is not actually to teach us about mining, but about wisdom. In the end, Job concludes that not even here is where true wisdom comes from. True wisdom, Job concludes, comes only from God. True wisdom is hidden from us. We can get an inkling of it, Job suggests, but we can only receive it from God. Now, we as Christians believe that we have received this wisdom from God most powerfully in the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So Job says we can only get this from God, and we say our gift from God is Jesus. And so it is in Christ's teachings that we have this wisdom. From that source of wisdom, Jesus, today, we use only one brief verse from the New Testament. It comes to us from the Sermon on the Mount. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Mennonite Central Committee had suggested for this year that we focus Peace Sunday on the theme of the role of mining in our lives. In our bulletin today, you will find a list prepared by Mennonite Central Committee of the ways different minerals play a role in our lives. And I think it's quite a good list. And we have a huge bulletin, so it's a little hard to find. Inside back cover, right? It is a daunting list. The near universality of the cell phone and its dependence on some rare minerals gives us a sense of how tied in we are to mining. The beauty of God's creation we saw contrasted on the screen today with the mining. The slides we saw were enveloped by the sense of "This is my Father's world." And I hope that most of you were humming the words in your heads as we were listening to the piece of music. "And to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres." Creation is there, as we have said here before, both for its own beauty, something we sometimes forget, but also for human use, which we sometimes see as the only purpose. We are co-creators with God, co-creators of what God has given us. And we in the first world still consume most of these resources more than the rest of the world. Most of the following thoughts come from an MCC resource made available to those of us planning worship for today. Some questions and some ponderings. In terms of consumption, do we need the latest computer? I usually think that I do. I usually think of the next thing that's going to, help my work. But really, do I? Jobs. There are many jobs, there are many Canadian mining companies which provide jobs in Canada, Guatemala, Philippines, Colombia, Tanzania, and other countries. And in fact, in many of these situations, the role of the worker has improved, the companies have provided sanitation and education in many cases. And so there are positive parts we need to remember as we listen to the negative as well. Canadian companies are more involved, and we are probably more involved in the mining sector around the world than in almost any other industry. And so Canadian mining companies do not always have good reputations in other countries. And we now see that Canadian foreign policy is increasingly linked to helping out our mining companies as they go into other countries. Some of our foreign aid now goes to regions that are negatively affected by Canadian mining practices. An interesting conundrum, isn't it? They're doing good things where Canadians are doing things that aren't so good, and one wonders about the relationship of policy. Some mining companies have sometimes used thugs to keep dominance in regions and other countries. And I think we're all aware of some of the environmental issues. The water needed for the extraction of some of the things we held in our cell phones and others is phenomenal. An open pit gold mine uses 900,000 liters of water a day. Can we fathom how many people can drink that water? And there is violence, too, in getting us the parts to our cell phone and the parts to other parts of our lives. Sometimes the governments in these countries have armed certain groups, and sometimes non-government groups are involved. And they compete for the ownership of the resources because they're seen as precious, and whoever owns the land then will make a profit when they sell them to us. And then there is the issue of our own investments. I am involved in RRSPs, as many of you no doubt are. And there are ways to work at some of these issues. A certain percentage of my RRSPs goes into what is called ethical investments. And ethical investments are, it's a certain sector of the investing community where they use and apply grids of what we call best practices. So it's to say that nothing is perfect, nothing. But can we say that in certain investments, this company is being more ethical than that company in the way they treat employees, in the way they treat the earth, and so on? And there is a company out of Ontario called Jansi Incorporated, which certain other investment fields use this company to apply that kind of a grid. They do specific work on these areas. We say, and we have said it in the psalm today, that the earth is the Lord's. And we hear Jesus say to us that where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. These issues aren't easy to understand or to live with. Nor are the answers easy, nor are we saying from the pulpit that this is all bad and this is all good. But we are calling followers of Christ to be more concerned with the purchases we make, with the investments we make, so that we can follow Jesus and have our treasure where Jesus would have our treasure. And as I say, these things are not necessarily all bad, nor are they all good. How do we deal with our own investments and with our own purchases? How is our role as co-creators with God played in the world that we live in today? These are the challenges we have when we drive our cars, when we heat our homes, when we use our computers and cell phones. Each of those involves the mining sector. May God grant us wisdom, wisdom that Job is looking for, hidden by God yet revealed in Christ, so that we together and individually might make decisions to say where our treasure really is. Amen.